Buffalo Sabres reporter Bill Hoppe is back with us for this week's edition of WBFO's Behind the Bench. I'm Omar Fatou. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Omar.
The NHL trade deadline was Monday. The Sabres made one move, trading forward Evander Kane to the San Jose Sharks. We all assumed Kane would get traded, but I think we expected a better return. The Sabres got a second-round pick that can turn into a first-round pick, also a mid-round pick and a prospect. Compared to some of the other deals we saw on Monday, it felt pretty underwhelming.
Yes, it was very underwhelming. And the conditions on that first-round pick are the Sharks winning the Stanley Cup or Kane re-signing in San Jose, and I would say that's pretty slim, so it's most likely going to be a second-rounder. And for months, the thought was that Evander Kane would be one of the most valuable assets out there at the trade deadline as a rental player. And even just getting him for a few months, for a while you figured he would bring a pretty hefty return. But in the end, he brought two draft picks and a decent prospect. Not a great one, but one who I think might have some upside in Danny O'Regan. But I think what's so disappointing for a lot of fans and people is just they saw the return that some other rental players on the market brought. Rick Nash, of course, he was packaged with other things, but Rick Nash to Boston brought the Rangers a first-round pick, a lot of notable assets. The Winnipeg Jets traded a first-rounder for Paul Stastny to the St. Louis Blues, but the Sabres could only get a second-round pick. But you could kind of see this coming. Evander Kane has been slumping for really months. He got going a little bit in the week or two before he got traded. He scored 4 goals. But given the way he was playing recently, given his reputation, whether it's fair or not, he does have a reputation around the league. He's had some off-ice incidents. That all plays into it, and you could kind of see that maybe they wouldn't get what a lot of people had thought they would get for him back in October or November, that they wouldn't get a first-rounder or a strong prospect. They would have to settle for a second- or third-rounder and a marginal prospect like they did.
Well, you mentioned last week the need for the team to get a guy who can play right away. That didn't happen. GM Jason Botterill said he got only one legitimate offer for Kane. Maybe he waited too long. He's taking a lot of heat among fans. Is that deserved?
Some of it is yes. He had an asset, and he waited too long to deal him. It's clearly. My thought is if he traded Evander Kane the first week of November, when the Sabres were out of the playoff race already, really, it would have brought back what a lot of people expected. Not only do you have a player playing really at his peak, but, I mean, whichever team he went to would have had him an extra 2-3 months. So, yes, he does deserve some criticism for waiting too long to deal Evander Kane. And I have been saying that the Sabres need bodies in here. They don't need draft picks. They just need an infusion of talent, and they didn't get any. I mean, it's amazing that the league's 30th place team, a team that has a lot of trouble scoring goals, actually got worse at the deadline. You wonder what it's going to be like for these final 5 or 6 weeks here. But in Botterill's defense, you usually don't remake your team during the season. You don't bring in 5 or 6 guys at once. That's usually left to the offseason. The offseason is the time for blockbuster trades. So I do give him a bit of credit for not just making a deal for the sake of it, but I don't think he had a lot of options. He had one legitimate offer, as you said, for Kane. A lot of the players on the Sabres with expiring contracts, guys we figured could be dealt for a draft pick or a marginal prospect, teams just didn't want. So I don't think there was a ton he could do at the deadline.
Well, one option could have been to re-sign him. Kane is an established NHL player, one of the best players on a bad team. The last GM, Tim Murray, gave up a ton to get him. You asked Botterill directly, why not re-sign him? I wonder if we'll look back at this whole situation and see it as a mistake.
Well, Jason Botterill called Evander Kane a premium player, which he is. I mean, he's a 25, 30-plus goal scorer, and there aren't a lot of those in the league, and there aren't a lot of those on the Sabres, really. I mean, he was one of their best players. He was their early season MVP. And if he's a premium player in his prime, why not try to re-sign him? Yes, he comes with some baggage, but why not bring him back? And I asked him about that, and he said, you know, some stuff about the salary cap, and his thing was this group wasn't working, that they had to make changes. Botterill's asked point blank, did it come from ownership? He firmly denied that. Makes you wonder if the Sabres need goal scoring desperately, if they need first-rate talent, why not at least try to re-sign Evander Kane? They didn't even explore it. They didn't have talks. Their mind was made up, I think, months ago that he just wasn't coming back and they would trade him. The Sabres gave up a bundle to get him and Zach Bogosian 3 years ago. They overpaid. They didn't just give up Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford. They gave up Joel Armia, a first-round pick. They gave up way too much. And this trade, is going to go down as one of the worst in franchise history.
Well, Bottrell was pretty emotional talking to reporters that day. He talked about how bad the team has been at home, how bad they've been in matinee games with a lot of kids in the crowd. At the same time, a lot of the players he's brought in since he took over simply haven't worked out. What did you make of what he had to say that day?
It's a side of Jason Bottrell we really haven't seen in his 9 or 10 months on the job. He's very programmed. He's the opposite of his predecessor, Tim Murray. Tim Murray would really say anything, and Jason Bottrell's the total opposite. So it was interesting to see that emotion, and it shows that the season has taken a toll on him. He's not used to this. He comes from Pittsburgh. He won 3 Stanley Cups. At this time of year, he was going for it. They were loading up for a playoff push. And here he is in Buffalo trying to sell off players no one really wants. And he did become emotional when he was talking about the Sabres' struggles at home. Last month when the Sabres were getting annihilated by the Kings, we heard a thud from where he sits and watches the games. And I don't know if it was him throwing something or a door slamming, but that was just everything kind of getting to him. He's embarrassed by the Sabres' home record. They're awful at home. He talked about how the last afternoon game, they got blown out by Dallas. And here they are, their next afternoon game. They're showing nothing, and he wanted to see a response from the Sabres that afternoon. So, yes, you're seeing what is, I think, the worst season of franchise history getting to Jason Bottrell.
Well, no one else was traded that day. Was that a surprise to you?
A little bit. I figure that a guy like Benoit Pouliot, a veteran winger who has 12 goals, could maybe fit into someone's bottom six as a depth player, just loading up for a Stanley Cup run. I figured maybe someone would take a waiver on Josh Georges just to have a veteran guy in the dressing room. I figure someone might on Jacob Josephson as just an extra center, but teams just didn't want them. I thought we would see 2 or 3 trades at least.
And what do we know about Danny O'Regan? He's the prospect the Sabres got back from the Sharks, another former teammate of Jack Eichel's.
Yes, he's an interesting guy. I went to Rochester on Wednesday night and talked to him and wrote a story. 5th-round draft pick by San Jose. He's played 4 years at college, had a very nice college career. Actually lived with Jack Eichel last offseason in Massachusetts. He was the AHL's Rookie of the Year last year with the San Jose Barracuda. But I think what if there is excitement over him, I think what has people excited was that he was Jack Eichel's line mate the second half of 2014-15, and he was also Evan Rodriguez's line mate. So 2 current Sabres he played with in college had terrific chemistry. They came within a whisker of the national championship that year. They were probably the NCAA's best line. So I think if you examine him, he's an interesting prospect, but just the fact that he had that terrific college career beside 2 current Sabres makes him a little more intriguing. If the Sabres call him up, and I think it's a decent possibility they could, he's a restricted free agent, they might want to examine him up close. Would they reform that line if Jack Eichel's healthy? Do they want to try to recapture some of that? Long term, I'm not sure if Danny O'Regan's really a first-line NHLer, but I mean, I think that's something interesting to look at. And he's a little undersized. They list him at 5'10", but he's very aggressive. He's a lot of natural skill. I think the Sabres like the way he thinks the game. So he's just someone to keep an eye on.
Well, on the ice, the Sabres have won 3 of their last 4 games, including wins against Tampa Bay and Boston, 2 of the best teams in the East.
Yes, as bad as the season has been, they have played a little better recently. There's been some clunkers in there for sure, which kind of overshadow the nice wins. But they've beaten Tampa twice in about a week. They just beat Boston, a very convincing win over Boston. So slowly, I think some things are improving, although they're just so far down right now. Any improvements are just aren't really, I think, noticed just because as a whole, the season has been so terrible.
The Sabres are in Florida tonight, a game against the Panthers, then back home Monday, hosting the rival Toronto Maple Leafs. Bill Hoppe, thanks for joining us on Behind the Bench.
Thank you, Omar.